hate to be in the, I'm not a virologist, I'm not a biostatistician. If somebody were to say to me that the numbers in the CDC November 12 document are nonsense, that they're total garbage and nobody should do any arithmetic with them because it's just garbage in, garbage out, I'd believe them. I have no basis for knowing whether those estimates are good estimates or whether they're genuinely comparable to the CDC's prior estimates of seasonal flu parameters. When the government puts out an estimate that, when the government says in 1 year that the unemployment rate is 7%, and 2 years later it says the unemployment rate is 10%, it seems appropriate to say it went up. Unless the government says we changed how we calculate it, and that doesn't really mean it went up. I think in exactly the same sense, the government said the case fatality rate for seasonal flu is about 0.1%, and now it says the case fatality rate for the pandemic is 0.018%. I think you got to say it's lower, until the government says no. We don't actually trust our own estimate. It doesn't mean that. Am I making sense to you? I have spent 30 years as a consultant with clients, and what I normally do is the client shows me their technical stuff, and then the client shows me this what they're telling the public, and I compare the two, and I say, you're not telling the public what your own technical documents claim. Your internal technical documents say you're emitting a lot of dimethyl meatloaf, and you're pretending to the public that you're not. You've got to come clean. And it's not like I know how much dimethyl meatloaf they're emitting. They tell me how much they're emitting, and then they tell me what they tell the public, and I look at the gap between the two. What I'm doing in this case is exactly the same thing. I'm looking at the CDC's technical data, and then I'm looking at what the CDC told reporters, and I'm saying, they're not the same. I don't know which one is true. I just know they're not the same, and that's not honest. There are two areas where the CDC's data and the CDC's sort of presentation to the media and the public diverge. The first is who is most at risk from the pandemic. If you divide the U.S. population into three age groups, as the CDC did in this November 12 document, people 0 to 18, people 18 to 64, and people 65 and over, the CDC gave us the data to calculate the case fatality rate separately for those three age groups. And what you find is that the pandemic is it's making more kids sick, but it's killing a smaller percentage of the kids it makes sick than it is of the adults and seniors it makes sick. Whether you use the case fatality rate or you use the population mortality rate, that is just the percentage of the population that die, by either calculation, these are not my calculations, these are the CDC's calculations, by either calculation, the pandemic is considerably more dangerous to adults and the elderly than it is to children. And that diverges from the impression the CDC has given. The CDC rightly points out that the pandemic is killing more children than the seasonal flu kills, and that's true. Because the seasonal flu kills very few children. So the pandemic is worse for children than the seasonal flu, but the pandemic is worse for adults and seniors than it is for children. That's the first area. That has implications for vaccination policy, for the prioritization of who ought to be vaccinated wherever vaccine is scarce. It has all kinds of policy implications, but you have to come to grips with the sort of the fact, if the CDC's data are accurate, that when we say, when we get the impression that the pandemic is incredibly hard on kids and pretty much gives seniors, gives the elderly a free pass. Well, those are both misimpressions. It's nearly as bad for people over 65 as it is for people 18 to 64, and it's worse for both groups than it is for children. So that's the first gap. You could decide to vaccinate children anyway because children are, they're treasured, you know, with our children are our future. Just in terms of years of lost life expectancy, you could make a very good case that, you know, killing a child, you know, killing a seven-year-old is more devastating to the society than killing an 85-year-old. Maybe an 85-year-old with Alzheimer's. You could make judgments that that we care more about children. You could make, you could also make the medical judgment that children tend to be more responsive to the vaccine, at least the seasonal vaccine. It takes better on kids than it does on older people. And kids tend to pass infections around more. So there are all kinds of reasons why you might still decide to vaccinate children ahead of the elderly. But you can't, with a straight face, if the CDC data are right, you can't stand up and say, we're going to vaccinate the most vulnerable people first, and in terms of ages, that's children first and elderly last. Because that's not what the data say. The second point is the comparison of the deadliness of the pandemic across all age groups to the deadliness of the seasonal flu across all age groups. And again, if the CDC estimates are right, and if the CDC seasonal flu estimates are also right, when you compare those two sets of estimates, assuming that they're comparable, and maybe they're not, maybe the CDC used different methods and it's adding apples and oranges, but if you assume that the two sets of estimates are both right and both comparable, then the CDC has found that the pandemic is a lot milder than the seasonal flu so far. Now, that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. It doesn't mean we should relax our guard. It's like a hurricane forecaster, who starts out saying, oh my God, it looks like a Category 5 hurricane. And then a day later it says it seems to be falling apart. We're downgrading it to Category 3. But don't stop watching. It could gather strength again and turn into Category 5. And, the hurricane forecaster doesn't pretend it's Category 5 when it goes down to Category 3, but the hurricane forecaster also keeps telling us, don't count on it staying Category 3. Don't count on it getting even milder. It could turn around. So we're not out of the woods, but the CDC's evidence so far suggests that the pandemic is milder than the seasonal flu. Now, it is not milder than the seasonal flu for kids, because the seasonal flu is extremely unlikely to kill kids. It kills very few kids. So the pandemic is killing more kids than the seasonal flu. But it's killing fewer people overall than the seasonal flu. It's causing fewer hospitalizations overall than the seasonal flu. It is a less serious disease so far than the seasonal flu. That could turn around. That could change. But that's what's true so far. And there's there are very important reasons for being candid about that. I mean, we all know people who are endlessly anxious and endlessly worried and endlessly warning us, and we learn to tune them out. And the CDC doesn't want to turn into that kind of agency, an agency that's always telling us things are awful and that we ignore when it tells us things are awful. When the CDC back in late April, when the pandemic started, when the CDC said this looks bad, this looks like it could be very serious, they were right on target. They were right to warn us. They were right to prepare. As far as I can tell, it's not my field, but I think they were right to order up a lot of vaccine. I don't think they did anything wrong in taking the pandemic very seriously. And I think they should still be taking it very seriously. But if they want to have credibility in some future severe pandemic to tell us that it's severe, then they need to tell us when it isn't. And this one isn't. I don't know if they're afraid that people will overreact to the mildness message and not get vaccinated, or if they think people will blame them for having hyped the pandemic in prior months, and I don't think they did hype it. I think they were right to warn us. Maybe they're afraid that it'll get more severe again, and then people will say, well, you promised it would stay mild. It's not easy to do what you have to do if you're a health agency or a hurricane forecaster. You have to keep changing your story when reality changes, and you have to keep warning people that it could change again. So, you know, this is a story. Act one was this looks bad. Act two, which is the one we're in, is it looks a whole lot less bad than it did. And we don't know what act three is going to bring. And, you know, in act two, CDC has to tell us it's not as bad as it looked in act one. And it has to tell us we don't know what act three will bring. Oh, I think their motives are extremely good. I mean, you know, the CDC people are absolutely dedicated to saving lives. And I'm convinced that they are doing what they judge to be best for public health. And I think you're quite right that, you know, the CDC may be thinking, you know, there are already millions of people who plan not to get vaccinated because they think the pandemic is mild. And if we announce as the official health agency of the U.S. government that the pandemic is mild, you know, even fewer people will get vaccinated, and some of those people will die because even a mild pandemic kills people. So I think they are misleading for extremely good reasons. But when you mislead for good reasons, you lose your credibility, and in some future pandemic, they're not going to be able to warn for good reasons because nobody's going to be listening. I mean, if I were designing messages for the CDC on this pandemic, the key message one would be, we're really lucky so far. It's turning out much less severe than we thought it was. And a second message would be, we're not out of the woods yet. It could get more severe. It's very likely to get more widespread, even if it doesn't get more severe. We're moving into a period when we have enough vaccine, and it's kind of a no-brainer to get vaccinated, notwithstanding the fact that it's pretty mild. And then the third message, I think, would be, you know, way back some months ago, we made some guesses about what age groups and were most likely to be vulnerable, and some of those guesses turned out right, and some of those guesses didn't turn out right. And it almost doesn't matter anymore because we're getting to the point where we'll have enough vaccine for everybody who wants it, and priority groups won't make much difference. But just for the record, you know, if we were back in April and rethinking the priority groups based on the data we have now, we'd do it differently. And that, you know, that third message is less important than the other two, except as a matter of candor, as a matter of teaching the public that science is a process of endless approximations. I mean, it's what we teach eighth graders. You know, that, you know, you do science and you reach a conclusion, and it's only true until you find out more science, and then you change your conclusion a little bit as you learn more and more and more. And that's certainly true in an emerging science like the science of this new, never-before-seen flu virus. I mean, it's really an opportunity to teach the public that, you know, that when you're managing an emerging disease, you know, you have to build your boat and sail it at the same time. And you make some mistakes. You make some judgments that are, you know, that turn out in hindsight to have been less than optimal. There's no way to do better than that, so you have to keep changing. Part of the problem is health officials have not always been candid in years past about the seasonal flu. The seasonal flu, you know, 90% of deaths from the seasonal flu are people over 65. And it's not as if that's a secret. I mean, that's on the CDC website. It's been on the CDC website for years. But when your doctor tells, when a doctor tells a young person, get vaccinated, the doctor will usually trot out the 36,000 flu deaths a year. The doctor doesn't say, of course, for people your age, that's irrelevant. You know, it's only 3,600 flu deaths a year for people under 65. So we have sort of grown up not really realizing that flu in terms of deaths. I mean, you know, lots of people get the flu, but in terms of dying from the flu, it's a disease of old age. And we didn't know that. Most people didn't know that. It was known. It was knowable. The CDC had, you know, I mean, certainly publishes it. But it you know, because they're trying to get everybody vaccinated, they haven't really emphasized that it's mostly the elderly. So now when they say swine flu is worse for kids than seasonal flu, which is absolutely true, we, you know, the people they're talking to don't realize that seasonal flu pretty much ignores kids in terms of deaths. Credibility is always a scarce resource, and you have to husband it carefully and protect it and not spend it unwisely. And, you know, Lord knows politicians understand that and corporations understand that, but public health sometimes acts as if it doesn't understand that. And, you know, here's the question. Suppose you agree with me. Suppose you look at the data and you look at the public statements of CDC, and you conclude, as I have concluded, that CDC has consciously and intentionally misled people, not at the beginning, but as it found out more and more about the pandemic, and it found out things that were different from what it had been saying, it consciously decided not to say those things very aggressively. If you reach that conclusion, then along comes somebody who says, the vaccine is dangerous. And CDC says, no, it isn't. We've done a lot of safety tests, and as Dr. Friedman said in today's briefing, the news on vaccine safety is reassuring. Well, yeah, but now you're getting reassuring news on vaccine safety from somebody who's been consciously and intentionally misleading on pandemic severity. You know, are you going to believe them? The fundamental problem is trust. And by that, I mean two things. I mean, one problem is I'm worried that public health and the CDC in particular, but public health in general, because this is not just the CDC. This is state health agencies which follow the CDC's lead. This is local health departments. This is even your individual doctor who's following the lead of the CDC. So I'm worried that public health will lose more trust. It's lost some trust already in recent years, but it will lose more trust by not being as candid as it ought to be about the pandemic. And it's absolutely clear to me that if they thought they could save lives by being honest, they would be. They're trying to save lives, but they're reaching a judgment that foregoes trust, in the long term, in order to get more people vaccinated in the short term. I think that's what's going on, and I think that's unwise. So that's this one sense in which trust is an issue, but the other sense in which trust is an issue is public health officials don't trust the public enough. They don't trust the public to get it. You know, that they don't trust the public that if you explain to people that we thought it was bad, and now it's looking less bad, but we're worried that it might get bad again, that people will say, oh, okay, I get it. And we'll, you know, people can grab onto that and live with that. And you know, yeah, there will be some people, you know, who will say, how dare you keep changing your mind. But, you know, lots of people, the majority of the public, if you tell them complicated truths in an empathic, clear way, understand what you're telling them. And I think the most fundamental problem is because public health agencies don't trust the public enough, they are at risk of losing the public's trust.